Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him in praise and thanksgiving all the day. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am Deacon Bob Angelich on behalf of our celebrant today, Father Justin, our pastor, Father Mario. We thank each and every one of you for coming here today to worship with us. To any visitors we have here this morning, we hope you feel at home. Please know that our hearts and our doors are always open to you here at St. Cyril. Wonderful gospel story this morning, and it starts off with a very strong tendency of human nature showing itself. Two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, they walk up to Jesus and they make a very self-centered, human nature type demand. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. We're not going to tell you what we want. You don't really need to know that. We just want you to do it. Well now, you know, that statement doesn't leave a whole lot of room for negotiation, does it? And what is it that these two want? Something casual, nothing much. Just to sit on the right and the left of Jesus when he comes into glory for all of eternity. Talk about your self-serving request. Do James and John remind us of anyone? When you think through your lives, do you know of anyone that is self-serving? Think for a moment about the people at work, or your family, or your friends. Can you identify anyone who reminds you of James and John because of their self-serving attitude? Perhaps they remind us of somebody from work, somebody who's crazy with ambition, always looking out for just themselves, not paying attention to their assigned responsibilities, but instead they're always working that angle to climb to the next level. Or maybe they remind us of someone who's just plain arrogant and likes to think they're better than everybody else and therefore they deserve special treatment. Or perhaps James and John reminds us of a friend or family member who's a little needy and thinks they should be the center of attention always. You know, when I think through my own life, I know I can come up with a few names. But on the other hand, maybe we don't need to think of other people to find someone who reminds us of the self-serving James and John. Because maybe we need to look no further than ourselves. Now, before you start to dismiss that idea and say, no, absolutely not, I'm nowhere anything like the self-serving James and John, let me give you two examples of human nature. Consider these two examples. So I'm at Chili's here on Westheimer, right down the road, on Wednesday night. And we were seated next to a family of four. Just as we were sitting down, the mother at that next table was telling the server she was too slow in taking her order. Then throughout dinner, she made various demands for service, including at one time sending back her refill of sweet tea because it had too much ice in it. And when they were leaving, we could hear her telling her husband, and frankly, most of the restaurant could hear her telling her husband, that the tip he was about to leave was too large, and he needed to cut that down. You know, the same server waited on us, and she was just fine. You know, the problem wasn't Chili's. The problem wasn't the server. The problem wasn't too much ice in the sweet tea. The problem was the over-the-top, self-serving demands. My second example happens right here at St. Cyril. Matter of fact, it happens at every church I've ever been assigned to. People will contact the church, and they will ask for something. A wedding, a baptism on a particular day. They might request a priest or a deacon to come visit a nursing home, or to come visit someone in the hospital. Whatever that request might be. And St. Cyril, and like every church I've ever been assigned, does its best to fill those requests. But sometimes we simply can't. Maybe the church is not available on that day you want it for your baptism or for your wedding. Or maybe none of the clergy are available to visit right now. True story. At a previous assignment, it was a much smaller parish. There was only myself and one priest. And on a Monday, a call comes in asking for a blessing of a house that was just purchased. Now, Father Jim was out on retreat all week, and so I looked at my calendar, and I told the couple, congratulations, that's wonderful. I know how exciting it is to buy the new house. I can be there Thursday. That was not acceptable. They wanted me there Tuesday before they moved in. So I reiterated to them, today's Monday. I can't get there Tuesday or Wednesday. I can get there Thursday evening. And do you know what the husband told me? This is why I stopped giving to the church. What's the point of giving you people money if you can't do what I need? Again, the problem was not the church. The problem was not the schedule. It was the over-the-top, self-serving demand. Now, I'm hoping nobody here today. Let me back that one up. I know nobody here today fits either of these two examples. But I do hold them out there because it can be part of human nature. And if we are not careful to let our desires and our demands for service towards us to go unchecked. And when we allow those desires and demands for service towards us to go unchecked, behavior can go very wrong. And it leads to insensitivity, rudeness, arrogance, self-centeredness. It is a reality. It can be part of human nature at times to develop that overbearing sense of self-importance, self-entitlement. And that's part of what happened to James and John in the gospel story today. Their desires, their ideas of self-entitlement ran unchecked and out of control. And that led to the rather absurd request of Jesus. You know, I do think most people have a little bit of James and John in them. And for all of us humans, where this really breaks down is once that idea of self-entitlement takes root in a person, the ideas about service become a one-way street. It's as if that thought becomes, everyone else is here to serve me. I have no real need to go the other direction and serve others. And when that happens, a core Christian value has died and it is gone. Amen? So today, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to call out a couple of reminders. And the first is a call out is to remember what Jesus had to say about the desire to be served. It's in today's gospel story. Jesus said, whoever wishes to be great among you will be the servant. Whoever wishes to be first will be the slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You see, Jesus takes it and he flips around that normal human thought. Greatness in life on this side of the cross, in the eyes of Jesus, does not come from achievement or material gain. Greatness in life in the eyes of Jesus comes from serving others. Now, I do want to be clear about this. If anyone is working hard to be president, CEO of your company, if anyone has an idea about opening a business and making huge profits, please do so. If you want to be the greatest neurosurgeon ever, please do so. But do not let these particular types of worldly greatness lead you down that path of self-entitlement, self-importance, and cause you to forget. True greatness in the eyes of God comes from serving others. Amen? The second call out this morning is to remember not just the words of Jesus, but the actions of Jesus, and then hold on to those actions of Jesus as a way to live life. So when Jesus enters Jerusalem, a few days before his death, he rode a donkey, not a stallion. When he traveled, he stayed in the humble homes of friends, not pretentious palaces. He did not dress to draw attention to himself. He gave food to the hungry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And when he performed these and other miracles, he ran from the crowds that wanted to make him king because of those same miracles. And Jesus did not serve people at a distance by throwing money at them from his comfort level. Rather, in total servitude, to demonstrate what service was all about, he kneeled in front of people and he washed their feet clean of dust, clean of dirt. You know, Jesus could not promise James and John that he would sit on his right or left. As he told them, it was not his to give. But I can tell you this, Jesus himself sits at the right hand of God, and his actions remind us why. He sits there because he gave himself to us completely, because he served God. He served all of us with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his being. One other action, actually it's a non-action, by Jesus is quite noticeable. Not once did Jesus complain that no one appreciated him. Not once did he suggest someone else should take over and serve him first. There was no grumbling that others need to take care of him first and wait on his every need and demand. You know, when it comes to service, we are called by Jesus to do the same. In your words, in your actions, seek to serve, not to be served. Show grace to the world around you and to all those that God sends in your life, no matter the circumstances. When someone comes in contact with you, I hope they walk away feeling better and happier because of that interaction with you. Make that your mission to be true greatness in this world. Never bury your blessings. Allow them to flow out in service to others and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We cannot claim to be living the Christian life. We cannot claim to be living the Christian life until we rise out of the narrow confines of our self-concerns and we move to the broader concerns of our brothers and sisters around us. Amen. And in those moments when you feel you're incapable of serving, too tired, too weak, too busy, too old, too young, then stop and pray on the most unselfish act ever. Pray about when Jesus took our every sin, our every wrongdoing, onto his shoulders, and he carries our sinful ways to that horrible, violent, bloody end. No regrets. No complaints ever crossed his lips, even as he was dying a brutal, painful death with nails through his hands and feet, a hole in his side, a crown of thorns jammed onto his head, hanging on a cross for all to see. The ultimate act of service. And Jesus did this so that the sinful, the undeserving, all of humanity with stained souls might be cleansed and receive the reward of life eternal with God. Praise be to God for the salvation he grants us through Jesus Christ, who is servant and Lord of all. Thank you, Saint Cyril. Pray for me, for I am nothing but a common sinner. May God guide and protect each and every one of you all your days.